Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Oh my God, Bitcoin is performing better than expected, and that is the big news today. We are approaching the all-time high faster than ever in the history of Bitcoin. Bitcoin has never made an all-time high before that preceded the halving. It's always after the halving. So what does this mean? Does this mean we are headed for after the halving an even more radical up? Or does it mean that people are starting to be smart to it and they are buying in advance? Both possibilities are still true to me, still possible. So we'll be looking at the excitement. And yes, bull run confirmed. Coinbase has shit the bed. Coinbase has had too much traffic. They crashed, and generally that's a sign of a bull run. Croy says, regarding BTC, as JF commented on Kurt Doolittle's recent critique of BTC, I didn't know it was a critique of BTC. I pulled this tweet, so I'm going to look at it later in the show. Criticize Bitcoin all you want. Bitcoin is a civilizational advance, a massive event that removes power from the elite. And I'll have a look at what he has to say, but I've never heard a valid critique of Bitcoin. It's always about, oh, well, how will people buy their Big Macs with it? I don't care. We're not trying to solve how to buy your Big Macs. Could have been. We could have tried. Maybe something in crypto will come to address the Big Mac question. But don't act as if the only thing that money serves is buying Big Macs. It's not even the main role of money. Not in the current world. Not in the current sick world. To have a backstop against the sickness of today's world is what Bitcoin is for, first and foremost. The rest is details, and no one gives a shit if you can't buy a pizza or a Big Mac with Bitcoin. Low Mercury Tuna has sent a super chat during the night. Thank you so much. He says, three questions. One, Jordan B. Peterson hasn't cried since the start of Gaza War. Oh my God, what an observation. He's more tight. He's more clean. He's more direct. No drug addiction. JBP is on his Sunday behavior as he undertakes the genocide of Gaza. Interesting observation. Jordan has not cried. So now things are okay. Now Jordan has been, his bloodthirst has been satisfied. He's not crying anymore. Two, how would you compare the self-immolations of Bushnell and Lira, one real, the other figurative? That's a very interesting parallel that I hadn't thought about. But you're absolutely right. Gonzalo Lira has done a self-immolation of a higher quality. And so I would say Lira has done a deeper one. A deeper one, which is... And to a certain extent, I'm siding with a kind of... I'm kind of working on a belief. Not sure I have that belief, but I have a hypothesis that all male deaths are self-immolations, and that you decide, do you want to die of your old age and therefore self-immolate for nothing? Do you want to go at the front line of the war and die for saving your country or saving your family back there? Do you want to die of exhaustion from work, in which case you self-immolated for your family and for bringing bread on the table? Or do you self-immolate ideologically the way Bushnell and Lira have done? I think there is something there. I'm still working on how to phrase it, but maybe all male deaths are self-immolation. And if I was to compare there, I would say Gonzalo Lira has done a a much more major one, because in the end, Bushnell is just a guy committing suicide. Gonzalo Lira has integrated his suicide to a message about Western civilization that we wouldn't have had otherwise. Whereas the message of Bushnell, yes, he stated it. It's an explicit message. But Lira, it's a message through how he was treated. It's a message. His death is a message. For Bushnell, his death is not the message. The message is whatever he had typed on his Reddit account. That's two worlds apart. When you can force your opponent to misplay, to show their true hand, that is a better death in my view. And three, why didn't you remain in the USA to have First Amendment protections? Well, testing the USA with North Carolina, Texas, there were just major violations of my rights happening in the USA. They were targeting my family. And so I said, well, you know, First Amendment, good theory and all. I would love to have the First Amendment applied. But I didn't see a First Amendment in the USA that I saw. I saw family courts going after me, quoting my political statements. I saw a fiancé of mine being kidnapped by the state of Texas, quoting my public ideological statements. And so I don't think you have the First Amendment. I think the First Amendment is there, but you have no will to impose it in leftist areas. So in leftist area, practically, you don't have the First Amendment. So that's the mindset in which I was when I decided, all right, well, let's go back to Canada. Now, in April, I will go back to the U.S. to visit, and I know now. I know what to do in the U.S. Don't stop at a red light in a leftist state. Just find a way to time yourself with the green light. Bye-bye. There's two countries in the U.S. at this point, and if you understand this, I think maybe it's fine. I don't think it's going to be fine forever for all of the right-wing areas. I think many of them will get dominated by the flow of population. But we will have to organize white flight, and we will have to organize reconcentration areas in the U.S. where it's fit to do so. Bitcoin Magazine. Justin, Edward Snowden predicts a national government will be revealed this year to have been buying Bitcoin without having disclosed that fact publicly. So lots of noise around Bitcoin. I don't know if this prediction is true, but a government would have been quite clever to do this. Who knows who it will be, but publicly the governments are all saying, oh, well, Bitcoin is this other thing. We're not really into it. But if a government out there has had the clever move of moving into Bitcoin, this morning we were at 60, we touched 63, 64. We could be at a all-time high tonight. We could be at an all-time high tomorrow morning. The flows coming from the Bitcoin ETFs are surpassing any expectation. I'll show you the graphs. Meanwhile, the U.S. government is planning to sell a massive piece of Bitcoin at the top. 12,200 Bitcoin transferred from the U.S. Department of Justice wallet. So those are Bitcoins they have seized. They have transferred it to Bitfinex. So it looks like they are getting ready to sell. Looks like the U.S. government will be selling the top. Look at what they did. They sent 0.01 Bitcoin first. And then they sent 12,267 Bitcoin. Wow. You know, I do this. I do this a lot. I like to send a little test Bitcoin, see if everything is safe, and then send the rest. I can't believe that the U.S. government bureaucrats are doing exactly the same. But that doesn't mean they want to sell instantly. Perhaps they will want to sell at some point in the next weeks. They will try to look for the best price. Doubting Thomas says, JF, standing boldly against aggressors who kill you is not suicide. They are still the ones who committed the immoral action that they could have chosen not to do. Well, Bushnell didn't get people to put him on fire. Bushnell committed suicide, technically. However you want to take it, Bushnell committed suicide. This suicide might have been ideologically inspired. Of course it was. But I'm not going to play semantic games here. Bushnell has committed suicide. That suicide was intended to pass a message. Coinbase crashed. Bitcoin Archive reports. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, but Lyra did not. Well, I don't know that I've labeled Gonzalo Lyra's death as a suicide. But some people could argue that it was a suicide. Some people said what he did at the border was literally giving them power over him and power to arrest him. So I personally don't care about the semantic detail. Personally, I don't think I talked about it as a suicide. It's a self-immolation. And a self-immolation can be figurative, as Purple Tuna pointed out, or it can be real. In the case of Lyra, it is figurative. Stephen Robinson says, when you're trading an asset worth $70,000, $3 is free. You're talking about the fees of transfer for Bitcoin. Yes, I've been relatively satisfied. You know, I don't mind paying $2, $3 for Bitcoin transactions, nor for ETH. I think, you know, people could say, well, that's not fit for the everyday transaction. But it's not so far, really, because when you look at the true cost of credit cards, you don't realize it as a customer, but the businesses are paying huge amounts in credit card fees just to get the money to them. And so, yes, cheaper transaction is desirable eventually, but it doesn't have to be on the Bitcoin blockchain, and I'm confident that solutions will come. People were reminding, what did you think would happen?
Bitcoin just hit $62,000 today, and the volatility is through the roof. What the fuck did you think was going to happen when an unlimited amount of cash flow started crashing into an asset with absolute finality of scarcity? This is what I've been trying to prepare people for since August last year, right? I've been trying to scam everyone through free tweets and free videos into...
Yeah, the people who say, oh, Bitcoin enthusiasts are scammers. They're just trying to get us into their thing. It's like, yeah, but I don't gain anything from telling people to buy Bitcoin. I don't think that I have a big enough audience that I'm upping my own bag by telling you guys to buy Bitcoin. So it's like, you guys have a degree of doubt that would be well-placed in many situations, but at this point, it's not helpful to you. You are missing a big civilizational event if you've not bought Bitcoin. If you've not bought Bitcoin when I said you should, which is, I've said at 16K, do it. I've said at 7K, do it. Now, I've shown on my Twitter, someone was asking me at 29.5K, should I do it still, or is it too late? I said, it's not too late, still do it. So if this guy listened to me, he made $50,000 profit already. And it's just beginning. Luke Bros was saying, I think everyone needs to seriously consider that we are approaching the most aggressive fiat debasement we have witnessed in our lives. Bitcoin has never hit an all-time high before a halving. Never. Not even when it has done a 100x. Prepare now. We are in front of an event that we haven't seen the likes of before. It is wider, bigger, quicker than anything I've said it would be. Look at this. Yesterday, I was like, oh, good, we've maintained the higher flow of money into Bitcoin. I was wondering if we could maintain that flow the next day. The next day, we maintain that flow. Look at today. We're dwarfing the money flows by 2x. Can you believe this? I was zoomed in this little area and I was like, oh yeah, that's good. Let's keep it up. That's good that it's maintained. It's as good as the first day. Bam! This is what happened this morning. And now my question is, will this be maintained the next day? And it could very well. In fact, it could 10x. So the money flows are enormous. It's billions and billions of dollars every day. Boom. Boom, boom, whatever price, boom, whatever price, boom, whatever price you got. This is retard money, and it's the money that enriches you. Frog Eyes says, BTC is worth buying at any price. It's not about selling the next up type of Ponzi. It's finite supply now, and it will be finite supply later. It will always be scarce and hoarded. Yeah. Which is why it breaks my heart, because I'm set on selling a large portion of my Bitcoin at the peak of this bull run. But at the same time, my heart is aching, because I know very well that if I don't sell these Bitcoins, I will be alive still. And I know that if I can huddle them for 100 years, my great-grandchildren will be a multi-billionaire, maybe a multi-trillionaire. Okay? It's really heartbreaking. So I'm like, do I sell? I'm gonna have to sell. I'm gonna have to sell, because I've been huddling the last bull run, and it sucks when you see the bear market enter and it's like, oh, okay, now it's going down. But the reality is, what is the rational thing to do here? And I don't know if I'm going to be, because I'm a rational guy who's able to follow IDs arbitrarily. But the rational thing to do here would be to huddle all of my Bitcoin, unfortunately, and to deprive myself to keep eating celery for the next 10 years, and my great-grandchildren would be a multi-trillionaire. I know it. You know it. I'm going to try to make a decision about how much I sell. John Drake says, why sell? Where would you put your money? Well, it's all about, you know, current reproduction possibilities. It's all about being comfortable in a home and having a big enough home for a whole family. It's all about current projects, and so it's not like I'm going to buy a Lamborghini. Certainly, I'm not that much of a boomer. But I'm wondering if selling any Bitcoin is being kind of a boomer. That's how much the Bitcoin Kool-Aid has gotten to me. I'm wondering if I sell 5% of my Bitcoin, am I demonstrably an idiot? And I think I might be. MB says, I will sell at 90K. 90K? Okay, that seems like very arbitrary. I don't think it's going to stop at 90K. Three Birds says, how do you know when the peak of bull run is? Typically, the peak of the bull run happens within, I think, you would have to check the graphs, but about 90 days, within 90 days after the halving. So the halving is not now, and maybe more than 90 days. I'd have to watch the Bitcoin stock to flow mark, you know. But we're not even at the halving yet. So we have what, 60 days before the halving, so, or less than this. So once you have the halving, calculate 90 days after, that should be the peak based on previous bull runs, and typically the peak is 3x the peak of the last bull run. Now, you can either go conservative about this or you can go wild. The conservative case would be to say it's always been 3x. But at this point, we are abusing. It can't be 3x forever. So maybe it's going to be 2.5x the last peak. So that would bring us still at 180k. And then you can say, well, you know, previously it was on very small pools of money that had extreme effects on price. Now we're in the true financial world with institutions pouring in. They're going to be more conservative. They're not going to throw their money at 200k Bitcoin. So I think it's going to be even lower, 120k. So that's the conservative case for 120k selling at 120k. You can have the wild case also. And to be honest, I see all signs that this is a wild bull run. The wild case is you don't know what you're talking about, conservative guy. This is the first time in the history of humanity that an infinite flow of money is poured into a finite structure. A finite structure that we know won't change, which is 21 million Bitcoin. There's not even 21 million Bitcoin out there. The miners are fighting for crumb balls. The Bitcoins that were lost by Satoshi and all others are all locked up forever. So the crazy case is to say 180k is way too conservative. With the craziness of the media getting into it, the ETFs and people, you know, we are now at 1 second away from any billionaire telling his staff, get me $5 billion worth of Bitcoin ETF. Get me $10 billion worth of Bitcoin ETF. We are at the point where the funds manager can participate to the FOMO. In this case, 120K is clownish, 180K is conservative, and then we're headed to 200, 300, 500K, this bull run. If you go for the more conservative case, you're sure to make your money, but you might miss on an opportunity to double or triple up. If you go for the wild case, you know, I've went for the wild case last bull run, and it turned out that the last bull run was a very calm one. It was one of no excess. So I got punished in the sense that I got stuck with Bitcoin that was losing value over a bear market. But having gone through it, let me tell you that it's not been hard on my life. So missing a peak and keeping your Bitcoin is a very zen thing to do. It's great. I'm not going to tell you to try it, but it's great. It feels great. I didn't have any problem. I've centered on my life. I've lived reasonably within my means, and it's totally doable. So there is a case to be made that you should never sell your Bitcoin ever. FD says BTC almost hit its average yearly range high at 66,240. Yeah, well, now the technical indicators don't mean anything anymore. Let me tell you, it's uncharted territory from here. Now we're entering a game of exchanges and institutions and bets and anti-bets and shorts and... but the result of all this is Bitcoin number goes up. Number goes up. Kibenzis says, JF, I'm worried you might be missing the idea that if BTC was $1 trillion, it would mean that the dollar is effectively worthless. At that point, everyone, even bums on the street, would be millionaires. No. That is completely ridiculous. BTC is about... do you mean BTC's price would be $1 trillion per BTC? Well, the thing is, it's not completely irrational to believe that there will be such money printing that $1 trillion will become... in the US, will become a transactional value that... I don't know if everyone will buy a Big Mac with $1 trillion. I mean, if you look at Argentina, that's what happened. So, and if you look at these African countries that are hit by massive massive inflation. $1 trillion is what they use to buy a burger, basically. So the point is, the BTC that would be worth trillions of dollars in 100 years from now will definitely have appreciated with respect to the money. That's my point. My point is, there is a way for me to make my great-grandchildren richer, and that way certainly isn't to pass them on USD. If I pass them on some Bitcoin, perhaps they will be the equivalent of today's millionaires or today's billionaires. That's all I'm saying. So you wanted me to review Kurt Doolittle's opposition to Bitcoin. I have been and will continue to be correct on Bitcoin's future. So here, what we're going to do is, because there's lots of talking with Kurt Doolittle, we're going to keep aside a note. What is the objection that has been expressed here? We're going to store everything that Kurt Doolittle does in these bullet points. The video starts with reflections on China, but 90% of the content explains the vulnerability of Bitcoin. Okay, so vulnerability. Kurt Doolittle alleges that Bitcoin is vulnerable. What is the attack? Let's see. Now, I've been on message since something like 2012, and I know the fanboys are religious zealots. But like I said, a central bank can gut the system instantly, and they have multiple reasons to do so. Okay, so here Kurt Doolittle claims that there is a possible attack by the central bank to gut Bitcoin. That is alleged. I'm listing this as alleged. I'm looking for how will they do this. In fact, as the speaker says in the video, the fact that Bitcoin sucks at liquidity is the only reason organized crime has limited its use. Well, that's a separate bullet point. So Bitcoin sucks at liquidity. Bitcoin is attackable. Attackable, I still haven't heard a single argument for how the attack would play out. For Bitcoin sucks at liquidity, I say, the purpose of Bitcoin isn't liquidity. So sorry if you thought that Bitcoin would allow you to sell details of cocaine grams on the dark market. It's not that detailed. But what Bitcoin can resolve if you're into the cocaine business is how much this cocaine lord owes this other cocaine lord. And then the details of, I'm going to give it to you in pieces of $5 on this market. I'll have this staff bring it to you. BTC doesn't handle this kind of transactional detail. But BTC can tell me this drug lord is worth three times this drug lord, if you're really looking at a criminal solution for BTC. But the reality is, BTC isn't super attractive to criminal use. And as Kurt Doolittle recognizes, so the only critique here is that of liquidity. I will claim that liquidity doesn't have to be a feature of the money revolution. It would have to be if it had to be transactional, but it's not the goal of Bitcoin anymore. There isn't any post-state world coming about. Okay. But Bitcoin has shown to have a use in the pre-state world. So we don't need civilization to crumble for Bitcoin to have its value. To claim that we need an apocalypse for Bitcoin to shine is to deny the visible thing that we're seeing here, which is that Bitcoin has succeeded at recruiting mainstream adherence at this point with the ETFs, and has succeeded at this point, is already starting at chipping at gold in terms of demonetization, and Bitcoin will eventually demonetize everything else. That is, people kept buying these other things because there was no good money. People were buying, as Michael Saylor explains, they were buying gold because there's no good money. But gold shouldn't be money. In fact, think about the liquidity of gold. Think about the transactional fitness of gold. It's not. So basically, economic energy has been stored in a shiny rock just because there was no better option. Well, Bitcoin solves this even in a pre-state world. And in fact, within a status world, Bitcoin puts the state in check. Because now, as I explained, one drug lord has three times more Bitcoin than the other drug lord. Well, one of the drug lords is the state. And in fact, it's the biggest seller of drug in pretty much anywhere on the planet. The state is always the biggest seller of drugs, especially in places where it's been legalized. So in a state world, we can now know what is the state worth. And as long as they stubbornly not buy Bitcoin, they're worth zero. That is very useful. And it's very useful to have a finite check on an infinite printing machine that the Fed is. Instead, the USA's connection of the world as an economy is coming about, and the conflict of civilizations and the fragility of trade is returning along with the empires that failed to make the transition to federations, Russia, China, and Islam. That is all correct, but it's not a problem for Bitcoin. Bitcoin is agnostic to any form of the empires that it may face. So if you think you are smart enough to ride Bitcoin up and then time your exit, that's fine. I probably could do that if I was interested. That's because the reaction time of governments and banks is slow. So here, Kurt Doolittle supports the idea that, oh yeah, Bitcoin price will go up. So basically he's saying, oh yeah, I acknowledge that it's going to go up for quite a while. Enough that, yeah, maybe you're going to make money with Bitcoin. Well, maybe yes, Kurt. Maybe we are. And as far as selling at the right time, it's everyone's prerogative, but I'm not going to deprive myself of an opportunity just because in a potential post-peak future, there might be a down. As far as we know, Bitcoin doesn't go down much. If you don't buy Bitcoin at the peak, you're in profit. If you kind of try to find a reasonable bottom, the way I've been, instinctively, I've identified the bottom at 16K and 7K for the last two bull runs. If you kind of try to buy Bitcoin at the bottom, you've been in profit forever. Bitcoin doesn't go into bear markets that dip below reasonable bottoms. So we still don't have a case by Kurt of what the attack will be against Bitcoin. I am not anti-crypto. If it solved the bankless problem alone, I would be thrilled with it. It solves it in places where you have cell phones, but not banks. If it was used to force banks to hold their loans, but sell shares in them to restore their lending cycle, I'd be even more thrilled. Well, Bitcoin might very well do this indirectly. As the dollar loses its status as the main money, loans in the dollar will be much more risky, and eventually the bullshit of loans will be called out. The bullshit of credit life will be called out, and the question to a bank will be, how much Bitcoin do you have to back all of this? But sell shares in them to restore their lending cycle, blah, blah, blah. If it solved replacing the corrupt stock market, I'd be more thrilled. It's totally unnecessary. Well, I think that Bitcoin, if you follow the Michael Saylor theory of Bitcoin, Bitcoin will clean up the stock market because it will demonetize stock values. We have the problem again that people are throwing their boomer money into anything that could grow in value, and the stock market is inheriting this passive flow. with Bitcoin standing there as a finite goal of life to increase the number of Bitcoin you have, it gives a real money to the world. And the stock market suddenly looks less attractive. So it's entirely possible that Bitcoin will come to engulf all of the energy of the stock market, not down to the point of zero, but down to the point where stocks reasonably start representing the true value of corporations. And the true value is much lower than what it is. Right now, stocks are the subject of speculative inflation. With Bitcoin there, they might not be in 20 years from now. So I think we have solutions to the problems you want Bitcoin to solve. If it was used to create title registries for property of all sorts, I'd be thrilled with it. Well, we might be headed there with NFTs, with, you know, alternative blockchains, ordinals. You can, by the way, you can write on an ordinal on the Bitcoin blockchain a certificate of marriage. You can write a certificate of sales. And I think we might be headed there at some point. But for now, it's not been developing, and it's okay. It's going to develop when the need is there. But let me tell you, there would be quite an interest at having property titles. What if your house was yours by virtue of the blockchain? That would be a very amazing functionality. We already have it. It's a matter of people using it. And I love the idea of traceable currency for the simple reason that it would provide solid economic data and allow the central bank and the state to move ahead of rather than behind the data. And as some of you know, I've been a proponent of new accounting software that did the same internally, so that executives could understand how money really flowed through their businesses without the human cost of creating vast numbers of complex transactions in existing accounting systems. All of those are good things. Well, here, Kurt Doolittle does what every Bitcoin critic does. He lists a list of problems that Bitcoin doesn't solve. You haven't addressed how Bitcoin was vulnerable. You haven't addressed what would be the attack against Bitcoin. And you haven't addressed what the current function of Bitcoin. Do you have a problem with it? Oh no, I have a problem with the fact that it doesn't solve these other problems. These other problems can be solved by other cryptocurrency. Start your own coin, the Kurt coin. The Kurt coin is going up and up and up, and it's solving accountability in accounting in complex systems. Good luck, Kurt. But Bitcoin solves a bigger and even more important problem than the Kurt coin. And that's why the Kurt coin is at zero right now. And Bitcoin is at 62K. But if you think governments are going to give up control of borrowing and liquidity, you're clearly living in an archaic delusion. There's no giving up control. The government is not a thinking agent that intends Bitcoin. Bitcoin exists. And Bitcoin forces the government to react in certain ways. There's various ways that the government can approach it. It could outlaw it. I'm not scared in any of these scenarios. That's the beautiful thing. That's the confidence of a good innovation. They could outlaw it, in which case they would cause a massive regress of their country with respect to other countries. Because if all Americans are outlawed from buying Bitcoin while Canadians are stacking up on it, you can bet that there's a point at which the American economy pays the price for this. So Bitcoin is not being chosen by governments. Bitcoin exists. It comes from the internet. It is a revolution and an innovation, and you can approach it differently. But the government doesn't have the option of acting like it doesn't exist because it's a black hole that's pumping the economic energy right now. And at this point, it's not even in the options to make Bitcoin illegal for the US government. Because the US government, by allowing these Bitcoin ETFs, they have said, oh, you can be someone buying Bitcoin, putting it in a fund, and just stacking it. So if the ETF manager can do it, Papa JF can do it too, because of the 14th Amendment. And now we are locked in, you see? We're locked in where it's not even possible that Bitcoin becomes illegal. So what are the options left for the government? Well, I still don't see what is the attack they could do. They don't have the choice of making it illegal anymore. They can make it elitist, but that will only work to deprive new users from adopting Bitcoin through some sort of soft propaganda. If I've already bought my Bitcoin, there's nothing they can do against it because I'm already in. Any elitism that you apply to Bitcoin, I benefit from it. I'm now part of the elite. I have front run the biggest fraudsters of the entire universe. The fund managers, the people in the system that are inflating their values with arcane and secret ways. They've been doing so for decades. I front run them. But if you think governments are going to give up control of borrowing and liquidity, you're clearly living in an archaic delusion. They're not going to give up control. They just don't know what to do. This is the subtle difference. The government, there's nothing you can do right now. And, you know, at some point, the rotation of politicians in place, they don't really have, they're not really invested in fighting their own citizens. And they're like, oh, you know what? At some point, they're just going to accept that the geekiest of us are going to get a premium on our Bitcoin. That no matter how hard they go at this thing, the math is Papa JF must get richer for us to buy him out. And if you think that if digital currency solves the transaction speed and volume problem sufficient to compete with a central currency, that they won't give a 30-day window to buy Fed coins before they shut down the possibility of extracting the value, you're just ignorant and delusional. So here we have the laying out of the great attack that Kurt Doolittle is expecting on Bitcoin. The Fed will publish a Fed coin that replaces Bitcoin. The Fed will make the windows of buying and pre-purchase and the timings of it will be organized so that you can't get rid of your Bitcoin at good price. It's going to create a panic on the markets. And as a result, your Bitcoin will lose value. That is trying to replace Bitcoin by copying Bitcoin. Now, there's two possibilities with this Fed coin. Either this Fed coin is finite or it's not finite. If it's finite, what you're telling me is that Bitcoin is about to remarket itself as Fed coin. And in that case, I would say the win has occurred. The win has occurred. You had the government copy the innovation that Bitcoin is. And in which case, I don't really care what happens. There will be a bunch of people who believe that the old Bitcoin is still the real one. I probably would be on that side. There's going to be a bunch of people trying to flood this new coin. In the same way, there are people who drifted toward ETH, and they're going to like the guarantee of a Fed-controlled blockchain. I won't. So I'm not going into the Fed coin, because I know that with the Fed coin, there are many possibilities. They could be bullshitting about the finite supply. They could be creating more supply in the future, and they could be supervising, monitoring, and controlling your coins from a central authority that can block transfers. So I don't see the Fed coin being an attractive value proposition in an America where Bitcoin legality is guaranteed. Bitcoin cannot become illegal because there are people who have invested in ETFs. Making Bitcoin illegal at this point would be like making Apple stock illegal. You would be scamming billions of dollars worth out of people's pocket to a thing that you've already said was legal, to a thing that's already existing under the umbrella of the SEC. It's not happening, Kurt. This attack is not happening. First, because even if you were to make it happen, it would be a gigantic fraud. People would call it out, and it wouldn't be even attractive. Who wants to go under the surveillance umbrella of the American government or the Fed when we have a solution that protects us from it? No one. No one wants this. Not even the institutional straight players. So your attack is invalid. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is the elites of this world will have to deal with Bitcoin existing. They will have to take it in. They will have to accept it. I haven't been wrong. I won't be wrong. The only miss I've had over the past decade is the rather odd rescue of Bitcoin by institutions, which I just didn't expect. I understand why they've done it. I just also understand why they think they'll be able to time it. I am rejecting these arguments. There is no scenario in which an alternative Fed coin shows superior adherence to Bitcoin. And the reasons for it are I've listed already. No one believes the promise of the Fed. No one would believe a promise of the Fed that something is finite. They've been printing before, they will print again. And thirdly, monitoring and security. It's just not interesting to have money under the auspice of the American government, or accessible in some way for blockhead by the American government. If I had listened to the expert, I would have never invested in Bitcoin. I would be deployed in Ukraine right now while triple vaccinated. I'd be depressed and sick on a dozen pill prescriptions, and one of my children wouldn't exist. That is the lives of the people who I've chosen the right path in the last few years. We've been so much bullshitted. We've been bullshitted on Ukraine, bullshitted on vaccines, bullshitted on Bitcoin. And it's good to be part of those who got it right across these domains. Because I see people, intellectuals out there, who could call one of these things out, but who failed on the two others. But if you've adopted the right side of history on these three things, you're good. As far as I'm concerned, you're good. You're on my side. You're my friend. And you're a good person to live with and live by. You're a good neighbor, good person to have in my country. John Drake says, you can't trust humans and you don't have to, too, with BTC. That it's greatest, no trust needed. Absolutely. New guy says to MB, so you're saying JF doesn't know what money is. Is that right? Also, do we have MB? every time I talk about Bitcoin, we have MB just talking against me throughout. So I wasn't particularly paying attention. But he's asking, what is money? Well, it's a very complex thing. Money is various things. Money is various things. And this is perhaps the thing that we are brought to realize with Bitcoin. Money is many different things. And there was no obligation for one thing to solve these different problems. So that's the first thing you need to know. Money is different thing. Secondly, what are the most important things that money is? Money is a signal. Money is a signal. That is, you can be a sender of money, you can be a receiver of it. money in its most abstract form. That is, if you, unless you start chipping potatoes, or, you know, you start using chips of potatoes as money, where they have different functions, where you can either eat the money or you can pay with it. But if you're getting into the symbolic money, money is symbolic. So money is a signal. Money is symbolic when you talk of coins, of digital storage of any kind, or of cryptocurrencies. Money is a signal. Money is symbolic. The features of this signal are as follows. Money is treated as having value, as being desirable. Money is more desirable than having no money. Money is a signal. Money is symbolic. Money is treated as having value. Money is exchangeable. As any signal, it wouldn't be a signal if you couldn't exchange it. But money is exchangeable in a way that the sender has full control over whether he sends or not, with no interference, no blockade. You are in full control of your sending abilities. I believe that with these four features, anything that has these four features could eventually rise to the success of Bitcoin. MB says, you are wrong, JF. Unto gold and silver are money. All else is credit. That is not even true. Like, I can take the whole autism around metals, and metals have been paying off in the past. They're a decent investment. Even today, they're not a bad investment. Because no one knows, will they rise in value? I don't know. But what you say there is not even true. There's nothing that makes gold and silver money, other than the fact that people have decided to use them as such. That's it. There's nothing naturally moneyable about metals. They were hard to make, and therefore they occupied the symbolic and value propositions of money very well for a certain time. They may have been the best for a certain time. But there's nothing that makes gold and silver particularly good money. It's... MB says, head explode. Well, there we go. I had MB's head explode. Nothing. There's nothing. The only reason why gold and silver ended up being money is that they were hard to produce. And so they were a good signal that was distinguishable from nothing. They were desirable because someone would want them. And they were exchangeable because you could divide them in lingots or pieces. That is all that it is. And so I can make proof of work more efficient, because you, as an idiot of gold, you have to buy trucks to make it difficult for your gold to be tough to make. You have to buy trucks. You have to do this whole thing under the ground, explode dynamite, hire engineers so that you dig under the ground, extract the material, add some energy to fuse them and whatever, extract the gold from the rocks. You have to do all of this just to show that you're doing something difficult. As a software engineer, I can make something difficult. So you're telling me that you got obsessed with this little piece of metal because it was difficult to produce, bro. I can give you something difficult to produce. Here. A, E, 3, B, C, H, F, C, S, S, 7, 8, 3, 7, 8, exclamation mark, at sign, F, F, Z, 5, 7, H, capital H, P, O, 112. Find the hash 256 of the hash 256 of the 13th point on an elliptic curve with the following seed words. Here, I found something hard for you to do. And it's more efficient because then we can agree, you and I, that there will be a level to this hardness, that we don't have to go out there and blow up engineers with dynamite. Oh, shit. One of the guys died. He was in the hole while we blew the dynamite. Sorry. No, we are civilized people here. We're trying to agree on the money. Stop blowing engineers with dynamite. You're blowing engineers with dynamite to do something hard. I just gave you something hard. No one will die from it. I just gave you a mathematically hard problem to solve. See, that is the savages like you. I'm here to Christianize you. I'm bringing civilization to you, and I'm like, here's how decent people do. Kneel to me, MB14. Bitcoin is better than gold. Breaking total spot Bitcoin ETF trading volume surpasses $7.5 billion today, more than doubling its previous record. I was thinking about Christianity because I was looking at the video that my girlfriend sent me. Husbands are not commanded to meet our emotional needs. The transformed wife, what a great woman. And I love that she is that great because my girlfriend told me that she's following this woman as her wife philosophy. So it's like my girlfriend pretty much agrees with this woman on the philosophy of being wife. And in this video, she explains that emotional needs, this concept that men should satisfy the emotional needs of women, is false. I love it. I love it because so many times in my life, I was doing all the right things to satisfy my woman. I was doing everything I can to make her happy, maintaining her well-being, maintaining her physical possibility to survive, economic survival, finances, place of living. I was working so that she could enjoy life. But there would always be this point where the woman was not satisfied and it was something like emotional need. And the transformed wife calls it out. She says it's bullshit. It's like you can arbitrarily invent anything that would be your emotional need that is not satisfied. And she says the Bible doesn't mention this at all. There is no such responsibility for a man to satisfy the emotional need of the woman. I really love it. Now, it's not that I want my wife to not be emotionally satisfied. But the point is, it cannot be this everlasting request of more and more, and you don't give me enough this, you don't give me enough attention. That's the point at which the emotional need is really a bullshit signal. Gio Bruce says, JF, please explain the universe en français. Okay, il y avait rien. Il n'y avait rien d'abord. Et ensuite, il y a eu une petite oscillation. Et l'oscillation a amené à un peu plus de matière d'un côté, un peu plus d'antimatière de l'autre côté. Et ensuite, le temps est apparu. Avant que le temps arrive, tu ne peux pas demander cette question-là. Shut up! Mais à un certain moment, le temps est apparu. Et puis, là, il n'y avait pas d'autre choix avec le temps. Et puis, il y avait des rayons lumineux. Et puis là, il y avait l'espace. Là, l'espace s'est étendu. L'espace d'abord a commencé vers une direction, a réalisé « je dois tourner », une autre dimension. Ensuite, troisième dimension, « oh, ben, je dois tourner encore, mais à droite ». Et là, t'avais trois dimensions de temps. Et puis là, les planètes ont commencé à... Et puis là, les étoiles ont commencé à illuminer les planètes. Et puis, éventuellement, avec assez d'illumination, les planètes se sont mises à avoir de la vie. Voilà, c'est l'histoire de l'univers. That was the story of the universe in French. Including the Big Bang, the appearance of time, dimensions, and planets. New guy says, it's like listening to C-3PO telling tales to Ewoks. Biden did not take a cognitive test during physical because he doesn't need it.
You know, the president doesn't need a cognitive test. That is not my assessment. That is not my assessment. That is the assessment of the president's doctor. That is also the assessment of the neurologist.
These people were telling us that Trump absolutely needed a cognitive test. And so these guys are looking at Biden, who's barely able to complete a sentence properly. He doesn't need a cognitive test. Well, with this kind of arbitrary whims of the doctor of the White House, they will find anyone they hate. They will find someone like Trump incapable, and they will find someone like Biden totally capable. And yet we all know, put Trump and Biden aside one another, we all know that Trump seems more there, more present, more cognitively there. Rodita Sid says, Jeff, I would like to have $500 million. What's the fastest way for me to get it? The fastest way probably is to take all of your money, put it in Bitcoin, print the seed words on a metal plate, and just wait. That's probably the fastest way, probably the only way that you can sustain through generations. And eventually it's going to be $500 million. Listen, there are such weird news around Puff Daddy. There's this lawsuit that has revealed that Puff Daddy would have had sex with Meek Mill and Usher. And that's the moment on stream where some guy is reading through this lawsuit. And I find the lawsuit hilarious.
He did not, it did not say Meek Mill name.
What I find hilarious is there's this... Point number 72 of the lawsuit. The following are screenshots of the video of Stevie J anally penetrating a Caucasian male. Comes provided to Mr. Jones. So, Sean P. Diddy Combs, Puff Daddy, would have gay sex images of his collaborators and singers. So he has these images, what, for the purpose of extortion, for the purpose of intimidation? I don't know. And then he would have admitted having sex himself. This is a normal practice in the music industry. Look, even Stevie J is doing it. That would be a statement by Sean Combs, Puff Daddy. Look, the last time I heard of Puff Daddy, it's every breath you take, every move you make, every lie you break. I don't even remember the words. It was sad that Notorious B.I.G. was dead. And then eventually changed name. That's another thing I know about Puff Daddy. He changed name from Puff Daddy to P. Diddy. which is that was weird. That was weird. I've never gotten it. What is the rebrand here? Like, if you rebrand, like Aunt Jemima, you know, you don't rebrand. Like, imagine I'm like, I have the Aunt Jemima brand. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to rebrand to Aunt T. Gemma instead of Aunt Jemima. That doesn't work. It's not a complete rebrand. What the fuck did Puff Daddy do when he changed from Puff Daddy to P. Diddy? It felt weird, but now I understand this guy was involved in so much anal sex that it probably wasn't the weirdest back then. And, oh, you can't make these news up. I mean, I wanted to end the show, but one last news here, because this one, holy shit. Fannie Willis. Her Bluetooth ID of her, you know, these Bluetooth things that you can connect to phones. Sometimes you can name them. Fannie Willis, the prosecutor who's pursuing Trump. Fannie Willis, her Bluetooth ID was revealed in court to be Gorilla Grip Pussy. Gorilla Grip Pussy.
928-444, which is 928-444-3555.
What's the owner name of this phone?
The name that would appear on, say, a Bluetooth device is found on line 32, which is Gorilla Grip Pussy Pal.
Okay.
Gorilla Grip Pussy Pal. What does that mean? Gorilla Grip is a glue, so it's a super glue. So her pussy is like super glue. Does it mean it's tight, or does it mean she's like the forever lady? She gets addicted to her mail. Is she saying that her pussy is so addictive that your dick will stick to it like Gorilla Glue? I don't know, but that's the level of people who are currently prosecuting Trump. Thank you.